Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for whoever is joining us live and online. And thank you so much, everybody who is coming in person. Today, we have an amazing brand owner here. She'll introduce herself in a second, but it's a brand that's been with us for quite a bit in Flying Solo, and we're all loving it. So, Jenny, I'll let you introduce yourself.
Thank you, Liz. I'm honored to be here. My name is Jenny. I'm founder of Freya New York. We're a vegan luxury accessories line. We started in 2020 with women's work bags, and we've kind of expanded since there. And been a Flying Solo for a year, almost a year. It's our New York City home.
Amazing. So thank you for the introduction. And what's really amazing about Jenny's journey with Freya is she's been with us for over a year now, and she's one of our best-selling brands here. What's unique about it, there are so many people that know about Freya in New York. So now you'll go to the subway, you'll see her bags. You ask the friends, someone in the office will be wearing her bag already. And it's been relatively a short journey for her. You only started in 2020, and it's 2024 now, but so many people already know about the brand. Can you share with us the beginning of your journey? How did you even come about to make a bag? Were you always a designer? Everything that you would like audience to know.
Yeah, sure. It's definitely not a designer. I was in my last year of college, and I thought, okay, I need to do something. So I was interviewing for a lot of jobs that I didn't really know what I would be doing. But at my last final interview that I ever did in my life, I bombed it, and I was convinced that I didn't do well because I didn't have the right bag for the interview. So after I got home, I scoured the internet, didn't find anything I really loved, and thought, hey, always wanted to do something on my own. Why don't I do a bag? And knowing me as non-designer, I thought, you know, not going to make the most aesthetically cool looking bag, but I could do something really utilitarian. And that's how we started with one work bag. Took us a year to design and finalize that work bag. And that's the only product that we had for the first year. We made 300 pieces in two colors. That's how we started.
And you shared a little bit before we started this interview. So what was pre-sample journey for Freya?
Well, it was a lot of hand drawings. And then I found a sample maker in Brooklyn. I found materials first. So our bags are made from vegan leather. So it took me, a couple months research, was deciding between a couple different materials and ended up on vegan ultra fiber leather. So we had the materials sent to me. I really loved them. Had it sent to a sample maker in Brooklyn. First sample cost $2,500 and took a month to make, and it was terrible. And then after that, I went to China because I'm Chinese. Was visiting my parents in China, so we started looking for factories there. I found a sourcing agent. She gave me a list of factories that fit the quality and criteria that I wanted. Spent that summer visiting factories, and then we had all the ones that I like make samples for us, and then just kind of went from there. I was back at school during this time, so like between classes, I was just like every month a new sample would arrive at my door, and I would send like pictures and feedback of what I want to change.
And you also had a blog even before starting. So can you tell us a little more about that?
Yeah, so Freya started as a blog before I ever launched the product. Because from the beginning, I was like, okay, even after we launched, no one's ever heard of us. Why would they buy from us? Right? I need to give them a reason to buy. And also, I'm not going to have the product for at least a year and a half. Like, let me at least have something to show for it during this time. Now, everyone told me manufacturing was going to take at least a month. A year, and I was like, yeah, I'll have it in 3 months. Took us a year and a half. But I documented the whole journey. Like, I would show, hey, going to a factory now, show pictures. This is what I'm looking at. This is what I'm working with. Going to move fabrics. Like, hey, I don't know what I'm doing here, but I'm looking for edge paint. Like, I would show all of that. Everything that went wrong with the bag, everything that we changed about the sample, and also giving a reason why. And then that whole, like, all of those little newsletter blog post turned into our outpage, and it still lives on our website today.
And I know that you also keep continuing sharing it, all your mishaps and whatever happening, you still share with your audience, right? So that is part of the whole.
Yeah, we don't always share the good, we share the bad, we share everything. One of our best performing, so I send two newsletters every week. I think it's really good way of like connecting with our customers, and I think we don't really run sales, so the newsletters are on Tuesdays, it's like kind of an announcement, like what we're working on. And then on Fridays, it's a personal newsletter from me. So that goes out every Friday in the inbox. And it also lives on our blog.
And you personally write everything, right? This is literally your voice when we read your emails.
Yeah, it's me. I think it gives some personality to voice to the blog, to the brand. I was telling Liz, like, in the beginning, you know, I'm not a designer, right? As I said, I've never done this before. I was reading through a lot of the brands I admired. I was like, oh, like, I like how they use this word. I like how they phrase that. And so I would try to take elements of what they wrote. And then a year in, I just, you know, but like, this is really hard. It's hard writing in not your own voice. So I pivoted. And then our post started doing really well. I think people really resonated with the brand a lot more after I started doing that.
So basically your advice is just be authentic and
be authentic, be transparent. One of our best performing posts is I told people like, hey, we're increasing our prices and this is why. People love that one. We recently posted a price transparency post. So like I gave a breakdown of like what everything costs and why we price things the way we do. Anything with price, I think people really resonate with because they're always questioning like, hey, like why is it priced the way we are? I don't think anyone's ever happy. Some people are like, oh, you should increase your prices. Or I was like, oh, why is it so expensive? It's vegan leather. I think for everything, customers just want a reason to understand. They want to know why.
And did you personally have any hesitation? I know that a lot of designers do that transparency thing. That is when customers understand, okay, leather costs this, labor costs that, but obviously you need to make money as well. Was there any hesitation on where you just let's go for it and see what's going to happen?
I was a little scared to publish, obviously. So I'm like, oh, we do a 3X markup. But that's necessary. And I think the people you attract are the people that you want. And they would be supporting your brand anyway. And the people who aren't, they're not your customers. And that's okay. You don't want, like, I think from the beginning, I was like, I don't want Freya to be for everyone. It's not supposed to be for everyone. I want people who love Freya to really, really love Freya. And then everyone else can, like, find the brand that they really, really love. But I don't know. It makes things a lot easier, I think, to not chase people who are like, oh, I don't want to, like, convince anyone to buy Freya.
Mm-hmm. Is there a story behind the name Freya?
I needed a website to get started. So I needed a name for the website. And I looked up Scandinavian baby names and I picked Freya because I thought it sounded nice and it means love. So yeah, really in-depth story there.
Also, well, it's just, you've been transparent about everything. So it's great that you share. So you also mentioned that you have a very interesting way that you hire people. So if you can share with us, like, you know, how you do all of that.
I think like my strategy from the beginning, I thought, okay, I'm really, really happy with the product. I think that was number one. Product needs to be perfect in my eyes before I start selling it. And then number two is like, it doesn't matter how good the product is if no one knows about it. So my first hire, well, I didn't hire anyone for the first year and a half. So I did everything myself for the year and a half. Worked on ads, everything's like, okay, now I know how I need to, number one, grow the brand, and number two, get my time back. So I was shipping everything to you. So my first hire was an ad agency. So I was like, I need a scalable and consistent way to get new customers. So I went through, I think, 4 different ad agencies, and each one I was like, okay, now I know what I'm looking for, what I'm not looking for. And today we're still working with the same team. It's actually two guys, Pat and Joe, and they're great. And after that, after that, we moved into a fulfillment warehouse. So our bags are made in China. They're shipped to our 3PL in Milwaukee, and then they ship to our customers. And then after that, that really allowed us to do a lot more. Like, we had our first Black Friday sale because there was no way I could have handled the volume on my own. So I think that really gave me my time back and then opened us up to, like, doing other things because I wasn't just in the warehouse all day. And our warehouse was a CubeSmart next to my apartment.
And you also shared that you started in 2020. So how was it and, like, what was the very beginning of your journey?
Yeah, we launched in 2020, as you may know, in March 2020. We launched in February 2020. World kind of shut down. No one needed a work bag. So I thought, you know what, if I can sell bags during this time, I can sell them I can definitely sell them next year. It's like, this, it doesn't get worse than this. That's just what I thought. And everyone asks, like, oh, like, how did you support? I'm like, I don't know. This is all I've ever known.
Yeah. And from what you told me, you were shipping the first many months by yourself, doing everything basically, right?
Yeah.
So, and how did you pivot during the time? Were you just like, okay, I just need to go for it because I have those 300 bags and no way back?
Oh, yeah. I have 300 bags. I need to move them. I need to find a way to move them. It's been so long since then. I don't even remember what I was trying, but I remember I was spending. It's funny. People are like, oh, do you spend most of your time designing bags? I'm like, no, I spend like maybe a couple weeks a year really, really designing bags. Rest of the time, especially the first year, figuring out how to sell the bags, 10 hours a day on the Facebook ads, trying different things, filming different things, content. I never did the organic, so I was like, I want to set up the ads engine, but I know a lot of people also have a lot of success with organic.
Awesome. Do you remember your very first client that came to your website to purchase?
Oh, yeah, it was on pre-order. Bag wasn't ready yet. I thought it was a mistake. Like, why did I get a Shopify notification for Freya, New York? I've never seen this before. And I emailed her. I was like, hello, you're customer number one. Thanks. How did you find? And I was like, oh, your bag's not going to come for another month. I hope you're okay with that. And yep. I wrote letters to all of our first customers in the first year. I could put a note and everything. And then at the end of the year, I sent everyone a holiday card. So, like, thanks for keeping us alive.
Do you see that some of your clients are returning, or is it mostly new customers? So what's the breakdown normally for Freya?
Yeah, right now, priority is definitely still new customers. Like, I want to get as many new customers as possible while we still can, because I think even with a good ad setup, like, it's never guaranteed. So I'm like, that's where I'm putting a lot, most of my effort. Returning customers right now is about 15%. For that, that's why I'm also launching new products this year. We're launching just like a lot more than we usually do, just because I want to capture some of our returning customers and give them what they want and kind of expand the collection.
And you also share something very interesting about your design process. So you do some for your clients and some for yourself. So how did you come up with that formula?
Yeah, so like I said, I'm not a designer. But I put out one bag, and then after that, our customers would say like, hey, love this style, but it doesn't fit my 15-inch laptop. Can you make one that does? Or love this style, but need it in this color, or need it in a zipper. So for the first four bags, we only launched like between one to three products every year. For the first four products, it was just based on whatever our customers wanted. I didn't really question. I was like, okay, tell me what you want. I'll put it into a bag format. I will deliver it. I will send you an email with options that I'm considering for the design. Let me know what you like the best. Let me know what colors you want. Let me know if this works for you. So it's a lot of crowdsourcing in the beginning. Our fifth bag I designed for myself. It's still my favorite. It doesn't sell super well, but it's my favorite. And yeah, right now, I think I would say every two designs are for what our customers want. And then every third design, I'll make something for me.
Advertising. So that's a big part of your strategy. Can you share with the audience what exactly do you do? Do you do influencers, paid ads, anything else that how you drive traffic to you?
Yeah, in the beginning, it was Facebook meta ads for the first 2 years. Just because I think, like, for Google, you need people to be searching for you. No one knew who you were. Like, I don't think people will be searching for something they don't know. And I think Facebook is a really good discovery and social platform. So yeah, we did videos on Facebook. We found a system of making the ads that really worked for us. Like, I really focus on the functionality part of the bags. I think people need a reason to buy. Like, I think it's always easier if you give them like, hey, this is why you need this bag. This is why it was made for you. So that's kind of where we formatted our ads. Facebook is still our biggest driver. I think it probably drives 75% of all our purchases. Google, we started last year. Google is now really good because Google kind of builds on top of Facebook. Facebook gets people in the door. Google gets them to convert on the back end if they're looking for the brand. TikTok, I don't know, very inconsistent. I don't personally have TikTok, so I don't even know what works on there. It's just like a little bonus. Recently started Pinterest. Influencer, I hired someone to do this 2 years ago. She actually bought a bag, tagged us. I thought she was cute. That sounds weird, but like I liked her energy. We met up for coffee in New York. Her name is Mia, and we're best friends. And she still works for Greya today, and she runs our influencer. But I never saw it as part of our core strategies, just because it's not measurable. I need to track everything month to month, and influencer is just kind of like a bonus on top. And then we hired Molly to do press for us starting in January, and I actually hired press 2 years in, but it didn't work. Like, I don't think press really generates demand if there's no demand to work with. I think press works really well if you like, it's like, it like adds fuel to the fire if there's already something going. So I think Molly has been really crushing it for us on the press this year. And yeah, I do see a little bit of lift from that as well. But like I said, it's really hard to measure.
And so what are your thoughts on like offline, online? I know that a lot of people that that are clients coming to Flying Soul, I mean, we personally get to witness a lot of them, how they choose the bag, how they want to touch it. So what's your idea, like combo?
We were only online because that was the only thing that was feasible for us. But I think offline, especially as we grow and expand, and our customer base is not... So it's not like just the people who are really diehard Freya fans who would buy after reading the newsletter. They're interested, but they need, there's like a longer period of consideration. And maybe these are the people that we're reaching now. These are the people that, you know, might need to see it in person. They're not convinced that the vegan leather is what it is. So they need to see it in person. I totally get that too. It's hard to like show online. And I thought, you know, bags aren't like clothes. There's no sizing. I figure you can just buy it online. But no, people really do want to see it in person. I think retail is definitely coming back. And yeah, big part of our strategy, not for this year, but maybe next year.
Your clients are very unique clients. They already might like your brand, but they want to see and touch. And they always compliment on an amazing quality of the bag because they sometimes surprise how well the brand is made, because online it's really hard to see. They sometimes choose between two colors. They want to make sure that it's actual how they saw it online and things like that.
I love like Flying Solo team will leave notes for every customer. I love reading them. It's like, you know, sometimes the bag chooses you. You come in for one, but you leave with another.
Yeah, we noticed that too. Sometimes they're set on one. They're like, oh, can I try this one instead?
I would much rather them do that than like order everything online and return everything like that. That sucks.
Yeah. Well, I know that you wanted to share a few more things with us. So whatever you want to share before I open to the audience's questions. Any advice for the younger designers? If you were there, if it will be 4 years ago and you have to do this journey all over again, what advice would you give yourself then?
Ooh, I would say, I know, because in the beginning, there's so many things you have to wear, so many hats, you have to do everything yourself. I think focus on the things that really, really matter. Like, we didn't even have branding. It was like Freya in some whatever regular font. And we didn't have branding for the first 2 years. I'm like, I don't have the money to do that right now. I don't have the money to build a website right now. So the only money I have is focusing on the product itself and then like figuring out a way to sell it. And like, if anything didn't add to that, like I just didn't do it. It was also during COVID, so I didn't have anything else to do. So I think that was helpful too. But I think focusing on what really, really matters. I know people get stuck in like, oh, you know, I don't have the perfect packaging. I don't have this. I don't have that. Like, you don't need that. We didn't have that either. It's okay. Like, you don't need that right now. It's like a nice icing on top.
Amazing. But that's actually really amazing advice. And it comes from a completely different perspective of from you are much more of a business person. And that's always been first for you. And that's how you're figuring out your business. So very good advice, even if you don't have anything, just start somehow and then start selling, basically.
Also, like, tell the story. I think storytelling has been such a big part of our brand. And it's something I want to focus on a lot more this year because it's gotten diluted a little bit. But yeah, people really value that, especially in this day and age, I think. And there's no better time for us to be able to do that and share our story with social media and everything. I think we should definitely take advantage of that. And yeah, you'll attract the people that you want to. Like, it's scary in the beginning. I agree.
We'll thank Jenny for coming in. Thank you so much. It was truly an inspiring conversation. Thank you so much for sharing this knowledge. I know this video will live a long life and online. And thank you everybody who joined us online today. So if you have any questions for Jenny personally, you're welcome. She'll stick around for another few minutes. So you're welcome to ask her. Thank you again. Thank you.